Welcome to Still Entitled, The Adam Savage Project. I'm Norm.
I'm Adam.
I'm Simone.
Hi, Simone!
2.0!
Now that you've had your upgrade.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I feel like in some way it was a downgrade. I feel a little bit shittier than I was before, but still I have titanium plates and mesh and screws. And I mean, I have emergency hardware in case I'm in a situation where I really need some screws. I can just pop them out of my head.
Wow.
That's really gory. I haven't thought about that before.
That is really cool.
Different kind of kit.
Yeah.
Well, it's so good to see you. It's been
really
a minute.
To see you.
Yeah, it's good to be on the podcast. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was on.
It's months.
Months. It's definitely months. Has been months since before Adam started production on Junior.
Right, that's 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Feels like 10 years ago.
Well, let's catch up. Yeah. And what a place to do it, because we are at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, there's so many people.
You haven't been here before.
I have. Oh,
have. That's right. Of course you have.
And
I'm an
idiot. Wore your astronaut Apollo
that's
suit.
That's right. I still have that wonderful picture.
It has so much of my sweat in it. I feel like if you ever need like a DNA swab, it's just,
it's good
pull
to
it
know.
Out of there. Yeah.
It occurs to me now that we probably, it was a mad rush packing for this, but that is something we could have packed because as we're recording this today is on the 20th, that's 49th anniversary.
Of the moon landing.
Of the moon landing.
I totally forgot what I was going to say. I actually had a point, and I totally lost it. Sorry.
We were talking
that's
about
how Comic-Con
I was up until 1:30. Yeah.
Well, it's perfect because Comic-Con is an annual get-together with friends. Like, yes, there are 100 to 200,000 people out there beyond the scope of this hotel room exploring Comic-Con. But for us, we want to see some cool stuff, but for us, it's really seeing old friends.
Just saying we're only talking to people we already know.
I threw a party here in the room the other night. Was it last night?
Yeah, it was last
night.
Right.
Wow.
Adam,
yeah.
Are you okay? Do you need a glass of water?
I only got 4.5 hours of sleep and a nap somewhere in the middle. But again, like not only did I get to see all the people that I love here at Comic-Con, and they came in many different shifts and waves, but also they brought friends and I got to introduce you and Diana last night to my friend, astronaut Katie Coleman.
Yeah, she was, I don't know. I don't let myself get starstruck very often, except for when it comes to astronauts. I just have this, you know when you get that feeling when you're like, if you started a cult, I would join it in a second.
Totally.
Like, here's my application. I just made it up. Because they're just such, I don't know. They're just great people.
There's a grace and a quietude to all the astronauts that I have met and am friends with that I find really remarkable.
Because they have every opportunity to not be humble, and they are all
they're
very humble.
The most humble people.
Humble by choice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they know their importance and their place in history.
Yeah,
they're pushing us forward more so than a lot of people.
So every time I get like a text or an email from Katie, I see a picture of her on the ISS with her hair all. There's that picture of her in zero G with her hair all out playing the flute.
Oh.
And Chris Hadfield did that amazing Bowie cover from the ISS. And he's a huge proponent and encourages all of his fellow astronauts to get together and play music as often as possible.
Not on the ISS, but
no,
like just
on Earth.
Just to
on
meet
the
up.
Earth.
Not just at conventions, hang out. It's like a fraternity.
I think that that's exactly what it is. I think that, I don't think that Chris is interested in becoming the greatest guitarist in the world. I think he's really interested in the personal exploration and the social aspect of music. I mean, I actually haven't spoken to him about it, so I'm speaking for him without knowing his stance on it. But given how much I know he values community and working with the people around him, it strikes me that he exhibits that value with the desire to play music with his friends.
But I feel like that was one of the things we talked to Katie about. Just because they must share so many random issues and like meeting as an astronaut, meeting other astronauts must be like, oh my God, this thing that happened to me.
Right.
Yeah, in the same way as like, I mean, I have that with Diana, both having like channels on YouTube and being female science communicator, we're like, oh my God, this thing happened. And it's just such a good thing. And they must really have that as well to a crazy extent.
I'll bet.
They're like, if I have to explain how you poop on the ISS one fucking more time, I'm going to flip off. I'm going to like punch a 12-year-old in the face.
So
you would never see them do that, though. And Adam, he doesn't want to be the greatest guitarist on Earth, off Earth. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Caesar, I think it's he set the high bar.
You, when you talk about the pooping, last year I was at Johnson Space Center. I was at both Kennedy and Johnson, but it was Johnson that I was hanging out with Chell Lindgren at the Neutral Buoyancy Lab, and he took me into the shuttle mock-up and showed me just how tiny the living quarters are on the shuttle. It's terrifying. It's like smaller than an Econovan.
Yeah.
And he's like, and here's the toilet, and you just get this curtain, and you have to use this video camera to aim the suction cup. You literally, and there's this pause, and he goes, yeah, you get to know yourself better than you ever wanted to.
Yeah, that's a different type of the out-of-body experience that not many people want.
I feel like we should make a new product that is like on Earth impersonation of the ISS toilet, where you have a camera.
You have the opportunity to
what did I mount just it on suggest?
The bidet. Mount it on the bidet.
I take that back.
No, I don't think
I
you
take that
would
back.
Take
no,
it.
I think it back.
Let that exist in fan fiction all around the world.
So,
hey, speaking of fan fiction, what is the thing? Have you seen some stuff here at Comic-Con that's blown your mind? How have the costumes and the people been?
Blow my mind. Too soon, Adam.
Oh, sorry.
No, I haven't been walking around that much. I mean, I haven't been to the convention center yet, so I've just been, kind of on the streets. But no, I haven't. I mean, but in all fairness, as you guys know, I'm not a huge movie buff in like sci-fi. I'm not really, this is not my typical flavor of geek. I appreciate it so much when other people do it, but I'm not like, oh my God, in that way. I mean, it's a lot of cute kids. And
that's,
you're like,
I love the kids
go
in little superhero costumes.
Yeah, and the supportive parents. That's the best one. The supportive parents who build a costume that matches their kids, and they're just like, yeah.
I saw a Wonder Woman and a little girl Wonder Woman and a little boy Aquaman, like, and they weren't doing anything except like arguing in the street. But it was so like just like a family might do, but it was super cute. No, you have to go this way. I don't know. It's like all little Wonder Women.
Aquaman, you have great responsibilities.
Get on that sea dragon and get to the store.
We were talking about other cosplays we've seen. It's only Friday as we're recording this, but the things that have jumped out at me so far, Glow cosplay. Yes, have saw Liberty Bell.
There's been a lot of wrestling going on.
Yes, and Azoya, the Destroyer from Glow.
Okay.
And those are the ones.
Last year, was it... What was the big costume? Last year, it was Wonder Woman was the big costume. The previous year was Rey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So have you noticed, because I have done my cosplay walk, but I was staring through a sweat-soaked visor that was foggy, so I couldn't see much of anything. Mm-hmm. Has a single costume stood out somewhere?
No, I thought it would be Deadpool this year again, because the new movie came out, and there's a lot of Deadpool presence in general, there's nothing... And maybe it speaks of when we wait for Saturday. Saturday is the crazy costume day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the crazy, most packed day on the floor. And I'll have to keep an eye out for trends. Yeah. I think it's a little more mellow this year. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like Comic-Con just being a little more mellow, people just enjoying themselves.
It's also more mellow for us. We haven't overscheduled this year. We've had space. Normally, on every day, I'm going from about 7 a.m. till about 1 in the morning. And it's fun. Like, I can do that. But it's really nice that we're not doing that, that there's like a few hours here and there between these things.
And you did your costume walk already.
I did.
So let's talk a little about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we can reveal. I mean, people have already seen.
I was Wiley Post, the developer of the very first spacesuit, 1934.
Mm-hmm.
Wiley Post is totally worth looking up. He wore a white eye patch.
Oh, really?
In 1934.
Just for a style or because he...
No, he had lost his eye in some... I don't know how he lost his eye.
Yeah.
But yeah, he like white eye patch dude.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I'm then curious why in his pressure suit the viewport isn't shifted.
It's shifted. That's
is
why.
It shifted?
Oh, it is
shifted.
I'd love that you guessed that. Yes, the viewport is shifted to favor his good eye.
I did not
and
know
I
that.
I missed that detail.
Whoa. Interesting. Okay.
I even considered ways to get that detail in, and it's like, nah, I'd have to do a full rebuild of the
helmet.
It's
a lateral movement.
Yeah.
It's not just rotating along the axis.
Did anyone know what the costume was?
No.
No.
But I was at the Prop Store of London booth looking very closely at a full-size Terminator they had, and, you know, like I'm in my helmet and I bump up against the glass and this guy goes, Adam? And I'm like, how did you guess? And he's like, Well, I saw you staring intently at the Terminator, and then I saw the detailing in your costume, and I made the connection.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a deep cut.
It's a real deep cut.
And I really, the thing that I hope that we get out of this is that more people now will be aware of that suit. And so when they go to the Smithsonian, they can see it and appreciate that being the very first.
At the Smithsonian?
It is at the Smithsonian. Oh, wow. And at the Smithsonian, it is in a seated position because the suit was built to fly a plane from. So it was built to only be seated.
Yeah.
And there are pictures of him walking out to the plane, and he's walking all hunched over because it wouldn't allow him to stand up. It was a... he convinced B.F. Goodrich, let's see, Wiley Post was a pilot. In 1934, most of the planes were made of wood. And he flew this wooden plane for a, and he flew this wooden plane for a millionaire that he worked for. And surmised, everyone knew you couldn't fly above a certain altitude, like, you know, 20,000 plus feet, because there's not enough oxygen, you'd suffocate. And he thought, well, what if I brought my own atmosphere? He thought, wooden planes can't be pressurized because they're too weak, but what if I brought my own atmosphere? And he got B.F. Goodrich to make him this anthropomorphic rubber bladder that he encased in fabric material with stitching, what he called good God, I can't believe I'm forgetting the term. It's basically holding on to the bladder with a net so that it can only expand so much.
Uh-huh.
And then he flew hundreds of miles at like 45,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
In this pressurized suit looking out through this thing. And
with
He could, at a one eye, and he could adjust the temperature because he had two air feeds into his helmet, one directly from the outside, so that was kind of cold, and then another that was wrapped around one of one of the parts of the engine so he could heat the air with a needle valve.
Wow.
Yeah. The guy was totally badass. And all this is 1934.
I didn't know that there was a bladder inside there. You didn't replicate the bladder.
I just did the exterior.
Yeah, which
gives netting. That's what that term is called when you encase a bladder in a fabric net.
I wonder what it felt like to wear, because it must have been so when the bladder started expanding, it must have been like when they take your blood pressure, but all over your body.
Well, no, it's not holding on to him. It's actually pushing away from him. And
But by pushing away and having the fabric not let it expand, it must push down on him as well.
You stiff movements.
No, it's still so the problem is still that the arm wants to go like this, and that the hardest part about wearing the suit is bending the arm. So he has these metal rings to assist in keeping the volume of the joint constant while bending. He's the first one to make a pressure suit, and he encountered the exact problem. Like Katie Coleman was telling me, you know, when they push that suit out, it's really hard to bend your arms.
Yeah.
Articulation is very tough.
Bring it in.
You never get that in space movies.
No.
It's never like...
Never.
Wow. And then tonight is your panel, and...
Oh, right.
We talked about Mythbusters Jr. This is the first time people will potentially see something.
This is the first time we're unveiling... Is this airing before the panel?
After the panel.
After the panel. So this is the first time we're unveiling the six kids themselves.
Are you showing me the trailer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we were getting an exclusive. We're just going to see when everybody else sees it.
No, I'm going to show it to you on my laptop right after this podcast. You'll see hours
just let me
before
see,
anyone
like,
else
oh, yeah, okay, I'll take several hours.
It's a couple reveals. There's going to be that, which I know we've all been waiting for to see.
This is the first time I've seen any footage from what we've been filming for the last couple
of
months.
Right,
and that was really exciting because you don't know, you know? You're making a thing, you don't know how it's going to go until you start seeing the footage, and you're like, oh, this flavor is... And it feels familiar, and yet it's really new. And again, seeing these six kids, I'm so inspired by them every day, and to get to show them to the world and the world to them.
I'm just really stoked, like, having visited set a few times. Getting to see footage, because I'm just seeing all of you guys working and the kids and stuff like that. It's exciting to see the translation.
And they're just becoming more and more awesome on camera every single day. We're just getting more, you know, more genuine awesomeness from them. Yeah.
I know you're still in production for that for a couple months.
I'll be back the day after tomorrow. Monday. I'll be back on Monday.
Crazy.
Wow. The other thing that we, by the time you listen to this, revealed is a tested project. And we can finally talk about it back in January when we visited New Zealand. It was a return trip to visit Weta Workshop. And this time, in addition to covering some of the things, that the products they make and the movies they've worked on, we're able to do something with them,
yeah,
collaborate with them. And is it an idea that you came up with I would say not too far before we left.
Well, the idea was we were going to go to Weta. We were going to cover all the different things that Weta does, and they're great at that. But we already did that. So how do we create a framework in which to show what they do without just rehashing what we did before? So I thought, let's make a short movie.
I'm just scrambling in my head and being like, have I heard about this project or not? I'm not sure if we told you about this.
So I took the suit of armor that I made last summer in Cornwall to New Zealand. Yes. Because the movie that it's from, Excalibur, is super important to both Peter Jackson and Richard Taylor. And I thought, well, let's make the armor. Let me fight a monster. They could make a monster. We could do a prosthetic. We could have some blood effects, some fight choreography. We do some propage and some knife making. And that's exactly what we did. And Peter Jackson and Richard Taylor are in it, and they play themselves, and they're hilarious. It is such a surreal and amazing thing. And Norman, Joey, and I were, I mean, directing this thing together in the middle of this public park in the middle of Wellington, where they're like, oh, yeah, over there is where Frodo was hiding from the Ringwraith in the first shot from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, man.
Well, that list of things that you talked about, you know, having the armor, having a monster, having a fight of some kind, a prosthetic, that's essentially what we left the United States with, a story outline, you know, a few phone calls between them, see if could it be possible.
Yeah.
And when we got there, it was 6 days, 1 week to put it together. And to their credit, I mean, they are world-class filmmakers in a special effects house. They were able to work with us. We were sitting in rooms, like, working on a script.
Peter sent Joey to his camera department.
Yeah.
And got a camera. Got to go pick the camera that shot the Hobbit.
Go scout a location. It's a little bit of the things that you would have to do to make a film. And we did one for a film about 2.5 minutes long.
But everyone you're talking to is like, our monster was played like every orc in all of the movies. And a guy who the monster kills also played a bunch of orcs and elves and hobbits and background characters. Like, these movies were part of lives of all the people we knew and know in Wellington for the last 20 years. So everyone has amazing stories about it.
Yeah.
This makes me so happy and so sad. This is a lot of mixed emotions.
And the whole thing was documented.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you going to release the...
We're showing the film. So
yeah, you're going to show the film?
That's why Richard Taylor is the moderator, because he helped us really put this all together and made it happen.
Exciting.
Those are the things we're talking about.
I know. So much is going on.
the Weta party is tonight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's where we get to hang out. The thing is that among the professionals, you end up coming here and you and your fellow professional friends just sort of whiz by each other between different things.
Yeah.
And that's why the parties are like throwing a party last night and going to the Weta tonight is like how you catch up.
They're social events. It's not a place to get hammered. It's a place to literally just catch up. It's like the summer camp.
Exactly.
Every year. On the main floor, for people who collect toys and or collect collectibles, a bunch of things I want to give shout-outs to. Mobius, at the Mobius booth, the company that made the 2001 Discovery model, they have a new one that is almost twice as long.
It's like 8 feet long?
It's almost 8 feet long.
I so want to build this.
This is apparently only 1/10 the scale of the filming miniature.
Wait, the filming miniature was 80 feet long?
Yes. If you Google 2001 Discovery, I was skeptical. I'm like, are you sure this isn't 1/10 like human scale? And there's no way, because it would be like 1/130th. And I Googled it, and you can see photos of the miniatures from 2001, and Discovery is a warehouse size.
80 feet?
Yeah, it's 60 to 80 feet.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
Does it still count as a miniature, then?
Well, so Weta coined the term bigature.
Bigature.
For the sets they built for Lord of the Rings was like, it's a miniature city, but it's 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
So it's a bigature.
Yep, yep. Sideshow Collectibles has like over 200 new statues. It's one of those things like I can afford to buy one if I wanted to, but like I go here just to look at them. It's like this is like the sculpture garden for pop culture. Where I'm like, that's the most beautiful Wolverine I've seen.
And you brought one of my favorite pop culture sculptors to the party last night, Jason Freeney.
Jason Freeney, yes, yes. He's here from New York working with FYE doing his anatomical sculpts. And
the toys were half the toy, where you can see the skeleton of the toy.
Right.
That's
yeah,
his
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been a huge fan for years, so it was great to sit and gush
Very
over his
pretty.
Work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, gosh, this will be in the past for everyone. We're doing an unveil with Magic Wheelchair.
Yes.
And I caught glimpses. Mm-hmm. People who followed our friends Tom Spina and Fawn Davis and Mike McMaster on Instagram.
I did a tiny contribution to Fawn Davis's ship.
The theme for this year is Star Wars, and they're building half dozen basically Star Wars-inspired wheelchairs that are fully decked out.
Yeah.
They are magnificent, what I've seen so far.
It's really cool.
I don't know if I should say any more because we'll have a video about it.
Yeah, totally.
So you have to watch the video when that comes out, right. But I'm looking for that's like going to be one of the big highlights of Comic-Con this year.
Do you have a secret plan you're looking to implement while you're here, or you're just along for the ride and looking for some wonderful distractions?
I'm very planless.
Good.
I mean, I'm just excited, like having spent 1.5 months at home and
moping and just being out and
feeling some sort of normalcy. Not that Comic-Con is normalcy. But just, I don't know.
Hanging out with your friends,
yeah. So that's the main plan. I mean, I'm not doing anything in particular.
Awesome.
Yeah, because we don't see you enough in San Francisco. So let's go travel to one of the craziest events in the world and hang out here.
Yeah.
To catch up.
Yeah.
I think that's a great place to leave.
Yes. You can stay tuned. We have a ton of videos. Oh, one last thing.
Yeah.
If you watch our Comic-Con videos, it's not the exact same shirt. I have two of them. But I am wearing our new t-shirt. It is inspired by, Adam, your one-day build.
It always takes longer than a day.
That is, and that's like an inside joke for Tesla viewers out there. So that is on sale now. I'll have a link below in the description. But those are on sale for 2 weeks, made by the same folks who made your Savas Industries shirt.
Yes, Cotton Bureau.
Cotton Bureau. They're wonderful.
They're really soft.
Super
awesome.
Soft. Yeah. So go pick that up, and you can wear it while you do your own build.
Absolutely.
Someone, it's so great to see you.
It's
welcome back.
Great to see me too.
We need to do this more often.
Can we get a mirror for Simone?
So it's in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to head off to more activities.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye.